And welcome to the midday. I'm Norman Gilliland. We have a quiz question today, which should be easy if you're with us at all. Let's put it that way. That's enough of a clue for now. First up, we want to get to our guest today. And her name is Anna Vidovich, and she's a guitarist performing tomorrow night with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. It's 8 o'clock at the Overture Center in the Capitol Theater, which is just about sold out, I'm told, by the way. And the program will include an overture by Mozart and Bruckner's Symphony No. 2. And the centerpiece of the concert is one of the great guitar concertos of the 20th century. It's by Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco, his Guitar Concerto No. 1 in D. And welcome to Wisconsin, Anna.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here.
You grew up in Croatia.
Yes.
And was that from a musical standpoint? You were learning from your brother primarily, I guess.
Yes.
To play the guitar.
Yes, I was. My brother is a classical guitarist, and he was actually the first one in our family to start playing an instrument.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I thought your father was a guitarist.
He was. He used to play electric guitar and bass guitar, but he stopped many, many years ago. So I think that, of course, the love for music came from him. But for me personally, my brother was my biggest idol and my biggest inspiration to start playing.
Not your biggest competition?
Oh, yeah. Yes. It was a wonderful time to grow up. I actually have another brother who is a pianist as well. So we all grew up with music. It was just a very natural thing, and we sometimes played together, and it just beautiful time of my life.
So are there pieces that you remember your brother playing, and you're thinking, how does he do that, and how can I ever do that?
Oh, yes. Actually, I do remember, as a little girl, I used to listen to him practice. He would practice for hours and hours, and I would just sit there and listen to him. I would be sitting in the next room next to him and just listen, and that's how I got introduced to the music of guitar and all the pieces that were written for guitar. And I loved listening to everything. I mean, of course, guitar originated in Spain, so there's a lot of Spanish music that was written for guitar, but there were some arrangements of Bach's pieces that he used to play that I absolutely loved, and Scarlatti, and so it was just love at first sight. I loved the sound of the guitar. It was very soothing to me, so I just wanted to do it myself.
Now, was your brother also a concert performer?
Yes, he is. He is. He's actually, I remember my first live performance was at his concert. He invited me to perform as a guest. And that was my first live performance. But he performed many, many years, and he still does, and he records CDs, and he teaches guitar, so he's very, very active.
And how old were you when you gave that first concert performance?
I was about 7 or 8, something like that. I started when I was 5, so and he was my first teacher, so he prepared me for the concert, and we chose the piece that I was going to play, and so it was just I remember I was very, very nervous. It was such a huge responsibility, and just my first performance, so that's all I remember. Everything else I don't remember.
You must remember how it worked out.
Okay? I don't.
Really?
I just remember that feeling before coming on stage, and then I don't remember. It was just, yeah.
Do
it was too long ago. I don't remember.
Not that long ago, I venture to say. Is that still sort of the way it works for you? I mean, I gather you don't have a problem with nerves before playing, or do you?
I always feel a little bit of not nerves. It's just this is a very, for me, I always feel I have a huge responsibility, towards the audience, towards the piece, towards the composer, just to represent the piece and what I'm playing in the best possible way that I can. So that the nerves maybe come from that side, and I just want to make sure that I have the connection with the audience, that I feel comfortable on stage. And so usually there is a little bit of excitement just before going on stage. Once I actually sit down and start playing, it's fine. The nerves sort of just subsides.
Well, do you think it can be a good thing? I mean, if it's nervous energy and you focus that into your performance?
I think so. I think you're right. I think it's a good thing. I noticed that there were sometimes when I would perform without being nervous at all, I didn't really like the performance so much because I just felt like I wasn't, there was no excitement. Mm-hmm. So when I feel in those nerves, it's a good thing for me. You know, I just feel excitement and you know, it shows in the music, I think, when you sort of have that, you know, a little bit just before you start performing. So
you started touring at a fairly early age too, didn't you? Croatia is a fairly small place, so you're almost inevitably going to become an international performer pretty quickly.
I did first start to perform in Croatia with my brothers and solo sometimes, and then my teachers encouraged me to go to competitions, you know, to compete. So my first performances, international performances, were at the competitions. So that's how I got to perform internationally, you know, after a couple of competitions. I was invited to come back and to perform, and that's how it all started. But, you know, my first performances were in Croatia, yeah.
What are those competitions all about from your standpoint? If you win a competition, what's the payoff?
I think for a young person, I think it's important to do that. I think it's important to go out there and compete and with you know, people of your age and to get to know them and to learn. It for me, it was a very good learning experience. I learned a lot. I learned how to actually dealing with nerves, because performing at a competition is completely different than performing
it's,
live.
Worse, I gather.
Yes, it was just, I remember those performances where I was very, very nervous, because you have panel of judges sitting in front of you and basically watching you, your every move and judging you. So
you can be sure that they know the music, whereas probably the vast majority of your audience, if you miss a note in the Castel Nuovo Tedesco, they're not going to catch it.
Yeah, and you know, that's what live performing is about. It's more about sharing the energy and you know, sharing that with the audience than just making sure that everything is, you know, in the competition, the judging is very tough. So they looked for the technique, they look for other things, and basically that's where I learned that preparation is very, very important. You have to be 200% prepared before you go out there and perform. So that for me, that was the most valuable lesson. But I would definitely strongly suggest for people to go to competitions. Don't take it personally if you don't win or whatever. That's not the point.
Tough assignment, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it's just to be out there and to do your best. So,
well, guitars, unlike other stringed instruments, you know, violins and cellos, I'm told that there's really no sort of Stradivari or Guarneri of the guitar, that a guitar made last year is likely to be better than one made 150 years ago. Do you think that's true?
I think, yes, partly it is. It just depends what a performer is looking for. Some performers are looking for guitars that were, made many, many years ago. They had a different quality. I actually love those instruments because they have this really warm sounding quality. You know, the guitar used to be played in a smaller hall, like salons.
Many instruments.
Yeah, and it was not necessary for the instrument to be very loud. But today, in this day and age, we're performing in larger halls, as tomorrow, the theater has almost 1,000 seats. For the guitar, it's a challenge, because guitar is a soft instrument. So a lot of builders are building much louder guitars, and that depends a lot on what kind of wood they use and how they, you know, construct the guitar. So that's changing. The guitar is becoming more of I wouldn't say it close to the electric guitar, but it's just, it's in between. It's in between. And I'm glad to see that, because I think classical guitar needs to be introduced to a wider audience, you know, and needs to be more not more popular, but just you know, introduced to a wider range of the audience.
Well, now there are performers, classically trained performers with long careers behind them, who actually take the music to unconventional or untraditional venues. Mm-hmm. In other words, they might be playing in a pub, playing Bach.
Yeah.
And is that the kind of thing that you've done some of?
I'm really open to a lot of different things. I think music is music, and it doesn't matter where it's necessarily played. Is it a concert hall or a salon or a pub or you know, it's just music is music. I mean, it's and people come to listen and to enjoy. And you know, I've done a couple of fun shows at you know, very relaxed places, and which I really enjoyed. Of course, most of it, what I do is play in concert halls. So that sometimes I play in churches, and you know, it's just different venues. But I think it's all, the music should always be represented in the same way, you know. And what you're saying is, yes, a lot of artists have gone further and you know, sort of try to merge the classical side and the more popular side, which I think is a great thing. Why not? You know, it's good to do that. So
you play always the same guitar. You don't have a collection of 20 different kinds of guitars, I gather.
No, I don't. I only have actually three. This is the one that I play on live at live performances, and I have another one at home for practicing. And I have another guitar. It's a Croatian guitar that I've played since I was a very little girl. So I still kept that guitar. And my parents have some at home, but you know, I don't like to have too many instruments. I think I like to become familiar with, you know, one or two instruments, and then just keep learning about it and keep discovering, because guitar has a lot of different sounds. And I find, you know, throughout the years, I keep discovering new sounds coming out of the same instrument. So it's interesting how that works.
Well, how about some sounds? You have an Australian guitar, and it's a rather new one, made expressly for you.
Yeah, actually, well, this one was made. I'm very fortunate to be able to know a great Australian maker, Jim Redgate, and he was kind enough to make this, you know, for me. I've been playing this guitar for a couple of years now, and I love it. You know, it's a really beautiful instrument.
So it, I assume, has one of those voices that carries with an orchestra.
Yes, it does, but tomorrow we will have to use the amplification, because for such a large hall as, you know, as I mentioned, 1,000 seats, it's still difficult for the guitar to come through with the orchestra. If the guitar was solo, it would be different, but I think with the orchestra, it's better to use.
So your guitar has a pickup.
Yes.
And so what kind of wood is that, I have to ask, because it's not exactly what you would expect to see. I'm not even sure quite how to describe it, but it's a sort of a duskier color.
Yeah, this is the top is made out of cedar. There's usually two options. Guitars are made out of, the top is made out of cedar or spruce. So this is cedar. The back is Brazilian rosewood, and it is more about how it was constructed inside. I'm really, you know, still amazed with what they do, and I don't quite understand it. But
nobody, I think, quite understands it even today.
Yeah,
exactly how the acoustics of a stringed instrument work.
Right, but like I say, he does an amazing job, and you know, I'm very fortunate to know him and to be able to play his instrument. So.
And so strings, anything special there?
No, throughout the years, I've tried a lot of different strings. I use one specific kind, the Dario, and then I've sort of found what I like in those strings, and they go well with this particular instrument, because every instrument is different, so, and every instrument works with different kind of strings. So.
And do you change those fairly often then, those strings?
I do. I have to change them quite often. Especially if I perform a lot, they wear out, so I have to change them. I like to change them before every performance, so probably today I will be changing for tomorrow.
Do you like playing on brand new strings? Do they have the same kind of sound quality that strings that have been broken in a little have, in your experience?
Yeah, they do. They're more powerful, they're more crisp, they're clean, mm-hmm. Because they're new. Maybe they don't have the same kind of character as the string that is worn out, because it's a different quality. But I think for a live performance, it's better to have a new, clean, crisp sound than just something that is fresh. And you know, so that's just something that I do.
This guitar concerto that you're playing tomorrow night, the Castelnuovo Tedesco, does that have any particular techniques that you could show us now? Some things that we would listen for if we're there.
Yeah, I mean, the concerto, of course, has three movements, so each of them are very different. And I do think this concerto really represents classical guitar in a good way. Technically, it's pretty demanding. There's a lot of passages, fast passages, especially in the third movement. And then the second movement is very slow and very musical, and also it represents guitar in a more soothing, beautiful way, with the beautiful sounds, such as, you know... something like, because the guitar is a very warm instrument, so that this is how the second movement starts, and then the third one is very loud, and the first, so it's there's a couple of rasgueados and fast passages, so it has everything. Yes, and I think the audience will enjoy it. Yeah.
Well, what would you like to play for us now?
I'd like to play for you one of my favorite pieces by Spanish composer Francisco Tárrega. And the name of the piece is Recuerdos de la Alhambra, which means the memories of the Alhambra.
Thank you.
Cuerdas de la Alhambra by Francisco Tárrega, one of the great composers of guitar music, the guitarist, live in our studio today, Anna Vidovich. She's playing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. We'll be hearing more from her. Back with Anna Vidovich. She's performing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tomorrow night at the Overture Center in the Capitol Theater, playing the Guitar Concerto No. 1 of Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco, also on the program, the Bruckner Symphony No. 2, and a Mozart overture, and it's almost sold out, but the concert does begin tomorrow night at 8 o'clock there at the Overture Center. And you have also, what about 4 CDs to your credit now, Anna?
Yes, I have. I have several that I've recorded over the years. The last one was actually a DVD, a live performance DVD that I just did a few years ago. And it was always my wish to do that because a lot of the audience likes to, you know, have the live performance at home and just watch it. And especially classical guitarists, they like to watch the hands. So, that was done, and I really enjoyed doing that. It was a different experience because I wasn't playing in front of the audience. I was just playing in a studio, and it was recorded that way. So my favorite thing is always to play in front of the audience, a live audience, because there's always this, it's a different feeling.
You get that kind of an energy, don't you, from that?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Be that as it may, you do have this recording of a Bach partita that we'd like to sample. And what was the occasion for this? Was this a studio recording or some other circumstance?
This was a studio recording, I believe, yes. This was a part of the, I think, award that I received in Spain.
Oh, the Tárrega competition.
The Tárrega, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. That was the first prize, and then the part of it was the recording of the CD, yeah.
Well, we'll hear, I think it's the first movement of that partita.
Yes.
the first movement of the Partita in E-flat by Bach, played by Anna Vidovich, in competition in Canada for the Targa competition. Is that maybe doubly nerve-wracking to know that not only are you in a competition, but you're being recorded? I mean, this is not a matter of you being able to go back and change notes, re-record mm-hmm. anything. It's all one take, right?
Well, actually, this CD was recording afterwards, mm-hmm. the competition. Sometimes the competitions are recorded, but that's only for the purpose of the competition. So it's not to be edited,
not to be released. Right.
But the reason why I recorded this CD is because the first prize was a recording of a CD. So once I was awarded
that prize.
I came back to Canada and I recorded the CD. So, but it was a long process because usually recording a CD takes a couple of days, and there are various takes, and it's not only one take, which is a good thing. So,
yeah, of course, that would be asking a lot.
Makes things easier. So,
some Spanish composers and were so steeped in the sound of the guitar that even if they were writing piano music, it sounded like guitar music. And Albanus is a classic example of that, isn't he?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that out because, there is a set of pieces that were written for piano by Albanese, the Granada, Sevilla, Asturias, and all those pieces, and originally for piano, and then arranged for guitar. But it works so well for the guitar. It's really amazing. Who would have thought that they were originally written for another instrument, So.
And this is one of the most famous pieces, guitar pieces of all, isn't it? It's Asturias.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Which also goes by the name Leyenda. And what do you find so appealing in it?
Well, this piece is something that, this piece is very dear to me, and I always play it at a concert, at a solo recital, because I've been playing it since I was very young. And that was one of the first pieces I've learned. And so it's just stayed as a part of my repertoire. It has changed over the years. I mean, as a performer, but it matures, you change the style, you play differently one year and then you change. So I've never got tired of it. It's always fun for me to play this piece. It's very vivacious and it's really represents guitar in a really good way. So
Asturias.
Yes.
Bravo, Asturias, or Leyenda, by Albenas, played by my guest in our midday studio today, Anna Vidovich, who's performing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tomorrow night, performing an entire guitar concerto, one of the great ones, by Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco, and we'll hear more from her and her guitar in the balance of the hour. Back with Anna Vidovich and her guitar. Do you think there's any particular reason why, I suppose you can only speak from personal experience, why a person would gravitate toward one instrument or another? I mean, a person in particular, what would make them gravitate toward playing the guitar?
That's a good question. I mean, that there's different things. I think we all use our ears in a different way. Some people prefer guitar, some people prefer piano and violin. I think a lot of it for me personally was just being surrounded with it. You know, I was surrounded with guitar and because of my brother, and that's how I grew up, and that's what I learned. And that's maybe if I was more surrounded with violin or cello, maybe. Although I do love violin and cello, and my second instrument of choice would be cello because I love the cello.
But you know, if you were a cellist, you wouldn't probably be sitting here quite the way you are. Just you're wrapped around that guitar, and you can sit that way for hours, I suspect.
Yeah.
And there is a certain kind of, I don't know if you want to call it intimacy or just a different feel for a guitar that I'm not aware of any other instrument having. I mean, you can fall asleep with a guitar.
Yes. You know? Yes, you could. I'm so glad. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's something that is very unique about the guitar, is because it's you really hold it close to you, to your body, and then it's sort of like there's some kind of energy coming, you know, because the music comes within us. So I feel like with guitar, because it's so close, I can just sort of transfer that energy easier,
right?
You know, towards the instrument. So I do like that about the guitar. Yes, it's a very intimate way of holding the instrument, and sort of, and you can feel the vibration, you know, through the back of the guitar.
Sure. At the same time, your left hand, you have to have. Assuming you're a right-handed guitarist, you have to have a pretty good spread to pull off some of the music you're playing. A pretty good interval.
Yeah, I mean, the idea should be that the. It's not so much about the size of the hand. It's more about flexibility and the stretch, how far you can stretch. But that comes within years and years of practicing. That doesn't. I mean, my range wasn't, you know, like this when I was young. So it's just
covering what, 5 frets with.
I don't know. I've never actually measured. Maybe I don't know, something like that.
Yes.
7 or something.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Because of the constant, you know, practicing and every day, just over the years, you kind of really develop the ability to stretch the hand quite far. So.
And at the same time, occasionally you're barring a chord, but then playing notes with the remaining 3 fingers of your left hand.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, yes. And that's, for me, the toughest thing.
It would be tough for most people, I think. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's because you have to make sure that this finger, that the one that is holding the bar doesn't, the sound doesn't creak, or, you know, you have to make sure that the sound is clean.
Clean,
so,
yes.
And also, at the same time, you're playing with the other finger, so it takes a while, yeah. It's nice, you know quite a lot about the technique of the guitar.
Well, I'm watching you play from just, you know, 6 or 7 feet away, that helps. You learn quite a bit. Now, there's a story, a funny story about Villa-Lobos meeting Segovia, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. And Villa-Lobos was talking about writing maybe something for Segovia, and they got his conversation about the guitar. And Villa-Lobos somehow conveyed the idea that he didn't realize that you don't use the little finger of your left hand when you play the guitar.
Oh, maybe it's the right hand, no? The right hand?
Yeah. The right hand. Thank you. So is there any circumstance in this modern world of guitar playing when you would use the little finger of your right hand, or for that matter, the thumb on your left hand?
Yeah, actually, I've seen some players do that. Yes, I've seen, not classical players, but I've seen players, maybe jazz. I mean, it's hard to say which genre of music, but because today there's a lot of artists that do a lot of innovation when they play. They innovate a lot of things. So there's different techniques. I've seen people play with their thumb on the left hand, yes.
You would in a lot of pop music.
It's good.
Absolutely. Jazz and blues,
mm-hmm.
you'd use that left thumb to,
you would use the thumb.
Flesh out a chord.
Yes, or if, even for bar, you can use it for the bar, as you mentioned before.
Right.
And also the pinky on the right hand is used sometimes also, I think, more in flamenco playing.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
get that,
they use every finger, I think, of their right hand. So
they seem to be very busy when they play flamenco.
Yes.
Is that a style that you have tinkered with, flamenco?
A little bit, yes. I do love the flamenco style, and I watch a lot of flamenco players. I love Paco de Lucia, of course, and Paco Peña, and you know, those are just great guitarists. It's a very different, you know, guitar is a very interesting instrument because there's so many different ways that, and so many different styles. I don't think any instrument has so many different styles. I mean, there's electric, acoustic, classical, flamenco. I mean, there's just so many different things you can do on an instrument.
Have you ever played an electric guitar?
Oh, yeah, I have. I actually have an electric guitar at home. I play it for fun.
Uh-huh. What sort of things do you play?
I just, it's more for fun. I like to improvise. So, you know, I'll just take the guitar and play with an artist, or I don't do anything specific. I was just always interested in electric guitar, so that's I have it just for fun. I would not do it professionally because I don't know much about it, but I just it's a very interesting instrument.
Well, you know, it was developed by a gentleman who was working just not very far down the road from us right now in Waukesha, Wisconsin, Les Paul.
Les Paul, yes.
Pioneer of the electric guitar.
Yes, he was, yes. Yeah.
If you were just to pick up that guitar that you have there after, do you ever go a week without playing the guitar?
Very rarely. A week for me is a very long time. It's a very long, I would say more, maybe a few days, 2 or 3 days, four days maximum, if I'm on vacation. And then, because sometimes I need to get away, you know, because I'm constantly with it every day.
And sometimes you come back suddenly much better, don't you think?
Yeah. It's something, but only if it's a few days. If it's more, I feel awkward. My fingers just don't, you know, so I don't do that anymore. And it's good to get away sometimes and just do something else, you know, just for a few days, and then you come back and you're fresh. And because, you know, everybody gets tired a little bit of the thing.
Sure.
If we do it every day, and you just want some time away.
Have you ever been in a social situation where somebody doesn't necessarily know that you're a guitarist, and there's one just lying around, and you pick it up and just happen to dazzle everybody?
Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe a few times it's funny because I perform live, but it's also a very personal thing for me, you know. And when I'm at home, I practice alone. I'm always alone at home. It's a very lonely, you know, because you're always, I'm not playing with a group, so I have to practice by myself. And so I don't like, if I'm in a party and somebody will say, oh, can you play something for us? I don't know, I feel shy sometimes because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to interfere, or I don't know. So it's, but I played one time for my friends and it was fun. You know, it was just, we just had fun, and it was just a very relaxed atmosphere. But I wouldn't necessarily just, you know, take the guitar and just, you know, start playing.
The day may come. Do you have time for one more for us to play one more?
Yeah, I can do that. We can do the piece by a Venezuelan composer, Antonio Lauro. It's going to be a waltz.
Thank you.
it's one of his more famous pieces in that waltz.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Justly so. A lot of fun. You are quite a busy concertizer, aren't you? You're in the midst, I guess, of a tour now, aren't you?
Yeah, this is actually my first concert this year, 2014. And the last concert was in Europe in 2013. So it's nice to pick up with. I love performing with the orchestra. It's one of my favorite things. Of course, I love performing solo, but with the orchestra is a very special feeling because you have to, all these musicians behind you and that create this beautiful music, and it's just a very, very nice feeling. So, and then I go home. I live on the East Coast, so I
Baltimore, is it?
Yes.
You're still at Peabody. Or
No. I just live there. I graduated in 2005. So after I graduated, I just stayed, in the city. But that's where I travel to and from. That's sort of my base. So, and then I go back, and then I go to Canada, and then just travel throughout the states.
You're going to Japan pretty soon, aren't you?
Yeah, in May I go to Japan. Yeah.
Do you play different kind of repertory for a Japanese audience than you would for an American one?
No, I actually do. Well, I always change up a little bit the program. I try not to always play the same thing. But I usually play. They're very appreciative there. They really appreciate the classical guitar, and they know a lot about the instrument. So
they make a lot of them.
right. And they're just, their culture is very, it's a very special place. I love Japan. Their culture is so respectful of everything and of arts, and they really do a lot. They pay attention to details, and they're very, very neat country. So, but I wouldn't say that I would do anything different there. It's just, I think, it doesn't matter where I go. I always try to represent the instrument in the same way. So.
Is there a place that you would particularly like to go that you haven't been yet? A place that you're looking forward to? First trip? Is this the first trip to Madison, by the way?
Yes, it is. Yes.
So there's one to cross off the list.
Yeah, I've never been to Madison. I've been to Wisconsin before, but never to Madison. It's a really beautiful city. From what I saw, I just came in yesterday, so I didn't really get to see a lot, but what I saw, it's very nice.
Have you been to the Overture Center yet then?
Yes, we had a rehearsal. That's beautiful.
Quite something, isn't it?
We had a rehearsal yesterday, and yeah, I saw the place. It's very nice.
Well, I hope that you'll enjoy the rest of your travels. You ever think that, gosh, I wish that I hadn't really booked this one? I'm a little bit worn out tonight. How does that work?
I mean, sometimes, very rarely, though. It happens. I mean, this is what I do. I don't really have. I don't really have a choice.
It's part of being a professional, isn't it?
Yes, I don't have a choice. If I'm not feeling okay or I'm not happy, I don't have a choice. I have to do this. This is my. I take it very seriously. So, and I love it. So it's nice to have both. I like what I do. And I enjoy it, and it's not always easy, but it's part of, like you said, it's part of being a professional. You have to do what you have to do. So,
well, I certainly enjoyed talking to you today. And one added reason is that often I will actually hear as you speak the resonance of your guitar because you've had the whole time like that.
That's so neat.
Anna Vidovich playing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tomorrow night, 8:00 at the Overture Center in the Capitol Theater. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having me.